You're listening to The Big Day, written by Paul Van Dorn and published by the author in 2022. The book is read by Ronald, an AI voice. We wish you a nice listening.
June 2021, Rikers Island, New York, New York. Jerry Jake Ellis Jr. was accompanied to the exit by a big fellow he had not met before. With the employee count in the hundreds, he met new faces almost every day. Jerry carried a small paper bag with his few belongings under his arm, his hands in his pockets. The fellow was swinging his arm while holding a large ring with dozens of keys on it. Together, they approached a large gate which his companion opened for him with one of his keys. They had already passed three of these locked gates, and each time the guy had selected the correct key for the lock on the first try. But this gate would be the final one as Jerry glimpsed the street outside through its small windows. The final gate opened, and Jerry walked through it without looking back or saying a word. The guy mumbled a goodbye and a see ya, but Jerry chose not to respond to the guard's last remark. Instead, he stuck up his hand as goodbye. He was out, finally. It really did turn out to be that easy after all. He quickly scouted his surroundings while taking a few steps away from the door that he heard closing shut behind him and being locked again as he stepped away from it. Freedom was now at his feet. Surely, he had been at Rikers for longer than he cared to remember, but today was the first time in years he could leisurely look around and enjoy the scenery, his debt to society finally paid. But neither leisurely tourism nor scenery enjoyment were on his agenda today. His address until less than a minute ago had been the Eric M. Taylor Center, better known as prison, jail, the slammer, lockup, or inside. It was also better known as one of New York City's many correctional facilities. Jerry was about to change his address and move back to New York, his city. And he would do so in style as he had booked a nice ride to pick him up. Yesterday evening he had called his old buddy Lou Andretti and made him promise to pick up Jerry in a presentable set of wheels for his glorious return home from Rikers to the city. Jerry stopped at the curb and scanned the road to the right and the left for a worthy ride while mumbling the tune of The Passenger by Iggy Pop, "And all of it is yours and mine. So let's ride and ride and ride and ride." After a few minutes, an early 60s white Lincoln Continental with its top down hovered into sight from his left side and moved in Jerry's general direction. The car took all the correct turns and at about 100 meters distance, Jerry clearly identified his mate Lou as the driver. Still holding his worldly possessions under his left arm, Jerry slightly raised his right hand and briefly waved to Lou. He did not want to lose his cool or seem too anxious to get out of there, so one quick wink with his hand to indicate his position would have to do. It did, and Lou expertly steered the Continental to the curb, coming to a gentle stop exactly where his mate Jerry was waiting for him. Lou leaned over to the passenger side and pulled the door handle to swing it open for his passenger, his best friend Jerry. From that moment on, and quite unexpectedly, things started to get wrong in a serious manner. As Jerry was about to take his step toward the now open door, Lou heard a loud thud followed by Jerry slumping over into the passenger side of the Continental, his legs still on the curb. Right about the time Jerry's frame hit the seat, Lou had returned to the driver's side and saw Jerry lying motionless next to him with his eyes still open, his face sideways in an expression Lou would never forget. On Jerry's back between his shoulders was a large and fast-expanding red spot with an impressive hole in the center of it. Looking down, he noticed the red fluid dripping down from the seat to the Continental's flawless red floor mats. Lou sat motionless behind the wheel, shocked by the unexpected event, and considered what to do now. Thinking was not Lou's major asset, as others in the organization were deemed more qualified for that. He was more the doer of any operation. Lou was simply better at following instructions than concocting them. Lucky for Lou, he did not have to think long. The main gate, that shortly before had been Jerry's way back to freedom, was suddenly opened again and two guards ran out, one with a handgun drawn and the other with a shotgun. Both weapons were pointed at Lou, and both were shouting at him. Even without being instructed to do so, Lou would have thought it wise to stick up his hands while awaiting further instructions.